Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Town of Sevier Board of Directors. At this time, I'd like to call our special meeting to order. Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. Time for public comment. Any public comment? No public in the building. This time, I'll close public comment. And we'll move on to item C, open session disclosure. Lee, please.
The Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session as identified on the agenda under items D1 and D2.
Thank you very much. Good evening. I'm turning it over to legal. We're coming out of closed session.
Returning from closed session, there is no reportable action.
At this time, I'd like to adjourn our special meeting. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. I'd like to open our meeting if you all rise to stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here. Great. Thank you very much. At this time, we'll have public comments. Individual public comments are limited to a 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. If you have a public comment, please come up and speak from the podium. At this time, is there any public comment? All right, please come up.
I live on Level Point. I'm an ice cream man that everybody keeps complaining about. I don't know how I'm being harassed by you guys. Also by the code enforcement that you guys complain about the trailer being parked out front. I need like clarification why I can't park out there. Well, there's a 72-hour law out there or 24-hour unhitch. You have limousines parking the roads, which is strictly illegal to park in the roads. And that's under the law. There's also home businesses that are running people to and from their houses, like massage people and so forth. That is strictly illegal. And where they neck it, why if I got one trailer parked in front of me? That moves constantly. That's the question. Right now, it's really is moving.
Yeah, we can't comment on that right now, but we will take your information into consideration. Code enforcement has jurisdiction over all of those.
You're the ones complaining.
We don't.
No, sure.
Is there any law? Is there a law you can't park out there? What's that law?
If I can suggest that the speaker contact me tomorrow.
Okay. So we have a general manager. Yeah, I'll talk to her.
Can we get your name just real quick for the record?
Yes, Kenny Martin.
Kenny Martin?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Any other public comment? At this time, we're going to close public comment and move on to area agencies reports. We'll have a sheriff's office report, please. Thanks.
Good afternoon, guys. I was asked about the report a few days shy. I'm in the middle of getting upgraded on certain things. And one of them is my computer system and my reporting capabilities. The gentleman I got this report from, Mike Voss, with our crime analysis for the Sheriff's Department, he's away this week for school, so he was able to run it before you left. So this going ahead. But from what I get with this, a few days shy, we're looking at about 349 calls for service. There were 33 police reports that are written. These are those reports. What I see is we had some vehicle burns, a couple of vehicles left open they got into. I see the 5305, that's identity theft. We have 3 reported identity thefts. It seems to be, like I mentioned in the last couple of reports I mentioned, I expect to see that go up because of the mail theft that we had in the past. We had a couple of credit card frauds, grand theft of the access cards. And that's all attributed to, my experience is because of all the melt up we had, people are going to be getting hit with that. So please, if you haven't already, do a credit check, bring it up. There's free reporting services, just call. It's free. Double check your credit. Other than that, is there any other concerns or questions that you might have for us, the sheriff's department?
I have a question for you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, because I don't see his name in there, is David Lane still around?
David Lane is around. He is the resident deputy. Of course, we lost his school resource officer position.
Right.
So he's got the resident deputy position.
Okay, good.
He is working.
Good.
He's on the street.
Working, yeah. First page. Sorry. Okay, thank you.
That's good. Thank you very much, Eric. All right, moving on to California Highway Patrol report, please.
Afternoon, Board. Officer Thomas, the California Highway Patrol. Last month, we had 48 citations issued. Probably most of them were speed. We had stop sign citations, a couple driving on the shoulder, people passing on the shoulder, and then the rest of them were our registration and cell phone citation. But the probably mostly speed out there. We had two DUI arrests, two crashes. One of them was one out here on the Sealways, every day over. It was a minor injury crash. One hit and run crash. That's the stats I have. I know the same issues that we have. And I see you guys put a trailer out there on Odor. I like that. So that's good. I was out on Newport again today, getting it quicker a little bit, something like that. So,
and,
I did
he's
well.
Busy.
He's done for the month.
A lot of people, and I'm happy,
he's done for the month of September.
I did get one kid that pulled over throwing a ball out. So I pulled him over and walked about 500 yards, picked the ball up. So I said, you can pick it up, get $1,000 ticket. So he can pick it up. You guys have anything for me?
Anything special for Labor Day?
Labor Day? I know they're going to have a couple overtime weekends. I don't know. A lot of times they'll kind of hover around the central area, 680 and stuff like that. I myself will be in Reno to grid test.
Any sobriety tests? Any sobriety checkpoints?
No, we're not having any. Now, I don't know if, like Red Bull May or something like that. They had a checkpoint 2 weeks ago, or last week.
Yeah, last week.
It was in the Chayville. Someone else just asked me about when they're going to have a checkpoint out here. So I asked our PIO, and they didn't have that yet. So I'll keep pushing.
Thank you very much.
I know you have a CHP trailer. Does that ever come out here?
The radar trailer?
Yeah.
I haven't requested it. So
anything by maybe on Meyer Road?
Yeah. Yeah, out there on Meyer.
Yeah.
I think I can have it, requested. So senior volunteers to handle it. Out here, I know police officers. You guys have yours.
Yeah,
way better than ours. Bigger.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks,
officer. East County Fire Protection District report. Fire's not here. Have you heard anything coming? We have no feedback on that letter or anything.
I'm going to have meetings since I got
that license. Okay. Right. Supervisor Mary Pipo, District 3 report, please.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Alicia Knowles with Supervisor Mary Pipo. I have a few handouts today. I did set some on the back table there for those that are in the audience, and I'll pass those down. Three different topics. The first one is just reminding you, Delta Veterans Group is hosting the stand down on the Delta for homeless veterans this year, and it's September 11th and 14th. They are looking for volunteers as well as monetary donations. Again, flyers are on the back. The next is hazardous household waste is coming up in Brentwood Saturday, October 3rd. Those flyers have also been passed out or in the back as well if you're interested in what you can bring to that event. And then just wanted to update the board that Supervisor Pipo and I are working on scheduling an all-MAC meeting. So we've been done in the past. We're trying to get one on the calendar prior to the end of this year. And so as soon as we have date, time, and location, we'll let you know. At this moment, Bethel Island has offered to host it, so we're going to see how that works and where we're going to be. And then the final thing is the county is seeking individuals who are interested in serving on the Contra Costa County Airport Land Use Commission. Also something I passed out, also something in the back. The applications do have to be postmarked by Friday, September 25th. And the flyer that is out will have all the details of what the commitments would be if you wanted to be on that commission. That's it.
Anything updated on the Delta?
In regards to weeds?
No, yeah, the weeds, please.
They're still green. Which the other areas stopped treating at the end of May. So they had done some testing, looked at it a little further, realized that Discovery Bay needed some additional treatment, and so it is going through the end of September.
Any update on the tunnels? I know there was a meeting last Friday, or?
I do not have that. I can have Leah go to those meetings for that. I can have her provide me an update, or I can get her to email to you directly if you'd like.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Committee liaison reports, transplant report. County planning commission report. Code enforcement report.
There was a code enforcement meeting on August 27th. Continuation of issues that we've had in the past. Couple of new items that popped up. We had another person collecting trash in front of their house. Code enforcement looking at that, as well as music complaint from unwanted. Gotta be looking at a permit for that music.
Okay, thank you.
What was the location of the complaint from what music where?
At unwanted.
Oh, okay.
Music, and they have to get a permit or some code enforcement follow up on the noise complaint.
Thank you very much. Special districts report. All right. That sounds good. All right, we'll move on to item E, any presentations? Okay, no presentations tonight. We'll move on to the consent counter. Down motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, moving on to business and action items, approve and adopt resolution 2015-17, agreements with bond underwriter and bond counsel for the 2015-16 bond issue for needed water and wastewater capital improvements.
I'm going to ask the board to hold off on this item until bond counsel arrives. I know he's on his way. I spoke to him just before the meeting, and yes, he was going to be here. But he's not here yet, so we can move forward. Hold this item back.
All right. Moving on to item two, approve and adopt resolution 2015-16, board policy number 024, relating to the use of town owned equipment for non-profits locally.
That's that juicy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item came before you a month ago on August the 5th, and staff brought this to you due to the fact that we have routinely, in a good neighbor policy, have loaned out some of our equipment, primarily generators, to our local nonprofits that host events in town that are benefiting the community and that are free of charge and open to the public. The Lions Club has been the beneficiary of this for a number of years, and recently with the Discovery Bay Community Foundation formation, they've also been using it as well. At the last meeting, the board recommended that we come up with have a policy to consider. And so what you see this evening on page two of your agenda package, which is under the heading Proposed Equipment Use, would be that the town would allow the use of one piece of equipment free of charge for a local Discovery Bay-based 501c3 nonprofit corporation or group for events to take place in Discovery Bay are open to the public and for which there is no charge for residents to attend, subject to the operational needs of the district, as well as the following conditions. Number one, that except for the equipment which would come free of charge, any costs associated by the district with the provision of the equipment or the transportation of that equipment shall be the responsibility of the event organizer. We included that language in there into this situation. Generally speaking, water wastewater manager Virgil Caney is the person that moves it and is a manager, does not, he's on his own time basically. I have pinch hit it and done it a number of times as well in the past. But there may be a time when we would be out of pocket when we have to call out a member of the staff to move it. And so just for board consideration, I included that there would be reimbursement of those costs to the organization. I don't anticipate it happening very often, but there is a chance it might occur. I believe in the 5 years I've been here, I can recall, I believe one time it may have happened. Number two, that the signage, that the district shall be recognized on any signage or sponsorship, and that we would be including promotion materials during the event. The proof of insurance in the amount of $1 million consistent with pursuant to Article 24 of our district policy for Grand Park rules and regulations, that the equipment will only be transported by district staff or authorized representatives, and that would be the only, I think would be the only other organization or group that would have that authority, and that the provision of the equipment will be at my sole discretion, basically for operational needs. If there was ever a situation where we just needed the equipment for something and we weren't able to do it, we would have to deny the request. If the event, there was a request for a second piece of equipment, for example, if they wanted to use our new light tower for one of their events, that's going to take additional time, additional resources. I'm recommending that there be a 2-hour minimum on that and that there be a $25 per hour charge, as well as a fuel surcharge and a $25 pickup and delivery charge. That would basically cover our out-of-pocket expenses on that. At this time, staff is seeking your input. It's solely your discretion as to which way you would like to go. And I know that at least the Lions Club is in attendance this evening. They may have some input as well.
Any public comment?
It seems reasonable.
Thanks, Dave.
What can I say?
If my math's correct, then Rick, on additional equipment, it's a minimum of $100. Is that correct?
Any other public comment? At this time, we'll close public comments. Any deliberation with the board?
Rep.
Yes, sir.
To the general manager, is this clear that this is for a one-day event?
It is an excellent question. For example, last year the Rocktoberfest was a 2-day event. It stayed here overnight, so there wasn't the process of moving it back and forth. The intent would be for one day, and if the board would like, we can go ahead and make the change to that.
This would be different than community camp though, where that's a 2-day event and we're sponsoring
that. And we're one of the sponsors of that, that's okay. Correct.
All right.
Yeah, community camp out is somewhat separate from that because we do participate in the sponsorship of that.
All right.
We just added the second paragraph under general criteria. We could just add the language in the second paragraph under general criteria. You need to look at the attached draft policy. So it's page 3 of that staff report. Works out to be page 37 in your electronic packet. And we'd include it in the second full paragraph under general criteria. District will provide one piece of equipment free of charge to local profit groups for events which take place within Discovery Bay, are open to the public, no charge to residents, one-day event subject to the operational needs. So I'll add one day event after residence.
We haven't decided that. One person asked the question.
I apologize. If you're interested,
so I don't,
that's correct. If you're interested in maintaining one day, you can add it there.
I don't know if it's already been delivered and if it's there, or why it would, Bob, you took it that it should be restricted to one day? We have one event that may run 2 days and it hasn't happened.
And I would leave it to the general manager at discretion. I don't want to see equipment disappearing for 3 or 4 or 5
no,
days.
No,
if it's not been back in one day, that's great. If the general manager found that there was no operational issues,
pick it up anytime.
He could extend it.
Or go pick it up if it's not
at the GM's discretion.
And that's in there now. Paragraph 5 provides the provision of district equipment should be at the sole discretion of the general manager.
All right.
Just for clarity purposes, take off on the same thing. What if there was, I don't know if it would happen or not, but a 3-day weekend kind of a thing where one of the groups had it for
festival,
want to do a 3-day thing or some combination thereof.
Different organization, different event, different circumstances.
Well, if it was different, then that would be their 1-day or 2-day thing. But if it was, say, it went on to a 3-day, same organization did a 3-day thing. I don't know if it's ever happened, so I'd be able to talk about it. I would think if it 1 day, no issue with me. 2 days, 3 days, I think we ought to have something.
I mean, what about the big cat? I mean,
not to exceed 48 hours. I don't care. It's not, you're right, it's never going to happen, Bill, because nobody's ever.
Well, as we view it today, but let's look forward 10 years from now. Who knows what's going on?
Sure.
I mean, another board at another time might change that, but if we give some direction now,
what 48 hours?
Or 72 or something.
72 hours.
Sorry, sir, or something.
I mean, there's been times we've delivered it
on Friday night,
on a Friday, and pick it up on a Sunday,
yeah,
or a Monday.
But that's our discretion,
or
not
Monday, depending on our operational needs.
But if the group was actually using it during those times, you know, we'll pick it up at our convenience. That's no problem. No days and 10 days. But I think the suggestion of 48 hours or something like that works. They'd see that.
I think C 3 weeks.
I think we need to be careful too about not being in competition with rental companies.
Right.
We're not in that business. We're here to support the community, but to a certain extent.
I think there should be a time limit. So many hours.
So if the time limit exceeds 72 hours, subject to board approval.
And if it exceeded 72 hours.
Then we're going to do a request, not the day before, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So the lawyer walked in.
The lawyer walked in so we can book.
He made it like 5 or something. Like it's very challenging.
Right, but if it went over that, then it'd be a charge, right?
Yeah.
So just the $25 for this, the $100 charge. If it went over 72 hours,
like a 3-day weekend,
then you'd go to the $100 charge per day after that. Then you get into rental and decide.
Yeah.
It's entirely up to you.
Why don't you just put it 48 hours and any of that it takes more or takes some kind of approval. It's never going to be out for 3 days anyway. I've lived here since 1983 and nothing's ever happened for 3 days here, so I don't think it's going to.
I concur with that.
So under that, then I would suggest that you put it in the second half of it if you're looking to charge, or are you wanting it to come back to the board? I'm not quite sure I understand the direction yet. So if it's in excess of 42 hours, 48 or 42, if it's in excess of 5, I'm still on 72. If it's in excess of 48 hours, it needs board approval, then you can determine what the charge is, or you could put it in the second half of it in the event additional equipment is requested, or the equipment is needed in excess of 48 hours, the following fee shall apply. Need direction either way.
I agree with the second.
Yeah, that'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah.
So we would be adding to the policy after general criteria and the 5 conditions that apply. It would say, in the event additional equipment is requested, or use exceeds 48 hours, the following fee shall apply.
Correct. Move staff recommendation with that amendment.
Second.
The only event that the Lions
Lions Club has had that runs for 3 days was our boat show, which we are thinking about bringing back, but we don't use the generator for that event. That is, but we might use, might want the light tower for that. But that's the only event that I'm aware of. There used to be a festival over across the road that the Discover Bay Chamber ran for 3 days, and it was called Rocktoberfest. Or no, it was called Docktoberfest, and that ran for 3 days. And that was before the town had the generators, and they used to rent them and park them out in the back there. But those are a couple of events that used to run 3 days. We have the equipment that we hook up to the power down the marina for stuff like that.
So moved.
I heard a motion, I heard a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Do we have everybody here yet, Rick?
Yes.
All right. Moving back to item G1, approve and adopt resolution 2015-17, agreements with bond underwriter and bond counsel. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As you are aware, we've been exploring this opportunity to finance some projects that are on our project hit list and in our capital improvement program for this year. We have water-related projects that may or may not be included in any type of financing. Those projects include the water meter rollout program as a possibility, the possibility of well 8, which will end up replacing well 5A, and possible other water-related projects. Those projects are all certainly projects that are at the discretion of the board as whether to include or not. On the wastewater side of the house, which is the primary reason why we're bringing this to you, is the Title 22 filtration project, as well as denitrification. Staff has been meeting with both the water and wastewater subcommittee as well as the finance subcommittee on this subject. I think both committees have met twice on this subject over the last month or so. And as the board is aware that, well, and go back to the water and the projects, well 5A has been experiencing the salinity issues for about two and a half years now. With well 7 online, if you remember, that well was brought online to meet our maximum daily demand requirements through the state. That well being online, with well 5A now going out of service, or at this point in time placed in backup mode to well 4, well 5A is more than likely going to be a candidate for abandonment. The water meter rollout program, which is, as you know, is moving forward. In fact, we finally got a proposal to set this morning from the vendor, and we are looking to bring that back to the board here probably in the next meeting or later, the second meeting in October, possibly first meeting in October, with that program and what that program is going to look like. There's about 4,000 service connections that need to be hooked up, and we're going to go ahead and bring a plan to you with that and how we would go about doing that and getting community outreach and information out on that. Back in 2014, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, as you know, included within the town's renewal for its NPDES permit requirement for the filtration projects, as well as the denitrification facilities. The filtration project, per the terms of the permit, must be completed no later than December 31, 2017, and the denitrification must be completed no later than December 31st, 2022. In order to complete filtration on time, the project needs to be under construction by July 1st of next year. Denitrification needs to be under construction by July of 2020. And while that project has calendar leeway in the sense that you can't push it back, but you can certainly pull it forward. And the committees and the finance committee have been discussing the possibility, does it make sense to move that project forward and do one offering at this point in time, or do two separate ones or different financing with the separate one at a later date. Those decisions have yet to be made. But at the least, we're looking at the filtration project of approximately $8 million, roughly.
Filtration? Yeah, it's like 7.5.
Yeah, okay. So around $8 million, $7.5 to $8 million for the filtration project. And again, ultimately, the board will make a decision as to what the financing, the entire financing package is going to look like. Concurrent with those projects is our Barter Wells rate study that's currently taking place. That should be to us. We saw the first draft of it this past week. We sent them back with some additional work to do, and we anticipate having another draft review within the next couple of weeks, and hopefully coming back before the board sometime in the next 60 days to finalize that project. With that, we are also needing to hire financial advisors as well as bond counsel and disclosure counsel, thank you, Cam. And Saul, who you met previously, came to a board meeting and has met with the committees, was unfortunately not able to be here this evening. However, Cam Weiss from the Weiss Law Firm is here. Cam, just for reference for those that were not on the board at the time, Cam was part of our financing team back in 2012, provided excellent services for us. He was introduced to us by Byron Bethany Irrigation District, and he's been working with them for a number of years. And he was actually an integral component of the project. And we were fortunate to be able to get him on board with that. So there's two contracts this evening for you. One is with Prager and Company, and the other is with Weiss Law Firm. And I need to make a correction on the recommendation. It's not municipal bond underwriting services for Prager. It's for financial advisory services. And the Weiss recommendation is accurate. So we would need to change the resolution on that if the board chose to move forward with that this evening. I do have... I went ahead and we did a comparison of what our 2014 looked like in terms of costs. And what an $8 million wastewater only package might look like in terms of total cost. This is above and beyond the $8 million, assuming that was the number. So you can see for $14 million, it's about $412,000. For $8 million, it's about $276,000. Those are the expenses that are used to pay Cameron's firm, Prager and Company, Standard & Poor's, our rating fee, the trustee and council fee for them, printing costs to present, if you remember, the official statement. So it gives you a little bit of a comparison as to what the numbers were then and what they are now. And I think it might be appropriate for Cam to be able to get up and explain his services and what he provides and what he brings to the team. And so thank you for being here. Sorry about the commute, it came a long way, so thank you.
Short amount of miles, but long distance on commute time at this time of the night. But thank you, nice to be here again. So yes, and thank you for the introduction. Nice, and I appreciate that the kind words that the job was well done and well received. So this would be much the same process. You know, the idea here is to bring on the financing team. Many of you have, I think, all your faces look familiar. You've been through this. So what we would do is compile all the necessary resolutions, documents, bring it before you. One of the predominant documents, as you know, that would be the disclosure council side of this, is the official statement that tells the story of the financing and that lays out the legal structure and all the demographical and other information that's necessary to get this information to the public so that they can look at what the appetite would be for investing in these bonds. I can say, though, at this point, since I have the microphone, and I don't want to come all this way and say just a little bit, so I'm going to say a little more here, you would also have, in the last transaction, you had the opportunity to do a public offering with bond insurance. At that time, in the marketplace, it was very I mean, we were bouncing along uncertain times. And that, I mean, the rates were good overall, but the market was very unstable, if you will. Because of the subprime mortgage crisis and the fact that all these lenders had created this consternation in the marketplace, the bond insurers that were historically in the market available, there were about four of them, were three of them, I think, were bankrupt or close to bankrupt. So we explored all kinds of options, trying to either do the transaction as a standalone, publicly offered transaction. We did find a rating insurance company that was willing to insure it and to bring that credit up to, at that point in time, a AA plus credit. So the numbers were crunched and it was decided to go ahead and bootstrap the credits up to that AA standard. That costs you some money. And that's the gap between the difference of what these two charts are really telling you, is that those numbers on the bond insurance side are unknown at this point because the market is stabilized. And a lot of times now, because your credit, now you've been in the market, you've established a good credit history, you've made your payments, it may very well be that you don't need to go and buy bond insurance and you'll still be in the A category, strong credit, very well perceived and received in the marketplace, and you'll save that gap between the 412 and the 276, which is really what the bond insurance amounts to, roughly speaking. So it's so for your good credit, you know, the good name, you're going to save $150,000, $160,000. I think it was actually more than that.
It was probably not $200,000.
$210,000. So that very well could be a savings in this financing transaction. So
even though we're talking $14 million on $208 million.
Well, I'm just saying the $14 million was about 200 and some odd thousand. I don't have the numbers, but to buy that insurance, and there was also a surety bond that reserved on this purchase.
Right. Well, yeah. Where I was going is that, and I wasn't on board at that time, if you're saying that the bond insurance was about $200,000, where I'm coming, if we take that out of the 400,
right,
the cost to borrow this round at $8 million is going to be about the same cost as it was tomorrow, 14.
Yeah, and that's that. A lot of this is because I think the underwriting number on this, if it's an $8 million deal, is a little high. You have a financial advisory contract that's being proposed here. That seems about where it might have been before. Or did you have, I think last time you just had an underwriter and no financial advisor. So you're really, now, and it's a new world, there's what's called the Dodd-Frank, you probably heard of Dodd-Frank, but there's what's called municipal advisory rules now that have come into play in the last few years. The SEC has mandated financial advisors being each transaction, and so it's kind of a new world, and everybody's saying, well, it's kind of doubling it. If you have a good underwriter, you really don't need a financial advisor, but it's the world we're living in, and so unfortunately it passes that cost on to you. So instead of having just an underwriter, you have to have a financial advisor as well. So you're really kind of doubling that $96,000 is what's happening in this. That speaks to that little bit of difference between the last transaction and this transaction. There's not much you can do about it. But I think a financial advisor, what they're supposed to do is go up to that underwriter and say, lock your fee down a little bit. So hopefully that 96 on the underwriting side will come down and be 40.
So the underwriter is
like, exactly. So once you have a financial advisor, they're supposed to bang on the underwriter. That's their job, to get that as low as possible at the time of issuance. So I think this is kind of a conservative number, 96,000. I'll put that one down for you.
That's the 8% and a 0.25% number set for an hourly close. That's the number that would be possible.
Well, on the underwriting fee, that's the top fee, the 96,000.
Right.
That's roughly a little over 1%. It's probably a 0.25. I'm not doing that in my head correctly, but it's roughly a 0.25,
right.
0.8. So your financial advisor, when we got to find the underwriter and go to bid, says, well, you know, sharpen your pencils, guys, and they come in, somebody might come in at like 40,000 to get this deal, 42,000. So there's going to be some savings. It's hard to project.
Sure.
Because, of course, if they say, well, I'll cut it to 42, but my rate's going to go up a little bit. So what it's going to be bid on is what's called the all-inclusive interest cost. They're going to look at when the underwriter's bid comes in, you know,
what all are we paying here, not just your fee, but what's the rate of the fee?
So we'll have an opportunity to discuss that down the road.
Absolutely, yeah.
I took the liberty, and I literally did this late in the afternoon, and I compared 2012 to today and plugged in their numbers, and using their numbers today and our actual numbers from 2012, the fixed costs back then were just over $412,000. Now, depending on whether or not we have to buy the insurance, we're looking at about $350,000. So the insurance was a big. I don't really understand the mechanisms of the insurance, but it made sense at the time due to the rating that we were to receive to get the insurance, get the lower rate. It was more beneficial to buy the insurance than it was not have the insurance to get the higher rate. Is that basically stated?
That's exactly
okay. So both Saul and Cam are of the initial thinking that the insurance might not necessarily be beneficial to us this time around because we've already established a good rating and a good credit in the marketplace.
So I guess that's summation of things. Certainly, there's a long process ahead. It begins with the rate study. It begins with all the things your finance committee and your staff is doing, but ultimately, choose to proceed, and you choose to proceed with us, we'll be bringing back resolutions step by step, laying out the process to you, so you have full disclosure of everything that's going on each step of the way. You'll have a chance to review all the legal documents on the disclosure document, and we encourage the comments and the feedback, not just from staff, but from the board members as well, so as you look through it, we always encourage comments. So that would be a process, and then ultimately get to the rating process, and that's where you make money for your district. If you've done a good job telling the story, getting the credit profile accurately portrayed through Sal to the rating agency, that's where your rating comes into play, and that's going to be the decision as to whether you go with bond insurance or not. Because if your individual underlying rating is high enough, you don't need to bootstrap a couple of categories. It's not going to do you much good. You're going to go with your underlying rating. Any questions about anything we have, we're happy to answer them.
According to your schedule, it's in the report here that rating agency discussions will be on October 19th or thereabouts.
We don't have that scheduled yet with the rating agency. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I don't know. I'm just going by what's on.
Oh, that's he just had. Yeah, he's got the schedule, the time frame schedule that Saul put together. We discussed it today, and I think that
page 24.
Yeah, right.
Is that the schedule or not?
It was a draft schedule, yes.
So it moved a few days here and there, whatever, but at least that's the process of the day.
I will say that Cam has already been doing some work for us on this transaction behind the scenes, and I appreciate that. We adopted the resolution at our last meeting. So he's already been doing some of the work, but it's certainly the board's discretion as to how you want to move forward with this evening. Cam and his office were interviewed and 3 years ago by the board, at least by the finance committee at the time, or maybe it was just the water wastewater committee at the time. And based upon his work they did with BBID, and if you remember BBID, we formed the JPA with them back then. So we formed a joint powers authority that benefited them and then also benefited us. So Cam's fee last time around was a little bit higher due to that portion of the transaction. That's not part of this time, because that had to all get established and put in place. So staff would recommend moving forward with that tonight with the one change. To Prager as being financial advisor. I'm sorry for that, I copied and pasted from a previous staff report. And so that would be staff's recommendation this evening.
For clarification, the fees for bond counsel and the financial advisor are paid out of proceeds at the close of the fund.
Absolutely, yes. And fully contingent.
I move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any public comment? No public comment. We'll close the public comment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cam.
Great.
Enjoy your trip back to Santa Cruz.
I look forward to being here again.
Much easier. It's much easier going that way.
See you later.
All right, informational items.
Get to that.
And disclosure pursuant to California Government Code.
Gotta get to it. This item is an annual disclosure subject to Government Code Section 53065.5. It requires the district annually by, I believe, October 1st, I think it is, to disclose any reimbursement by the district within the immediate preceding fiscal year, which ended June 30th, to any board member or member of the staff that exceeded $100, any individual reimbursement that exceeded $100. The list of those is on the second page of the attachment, and this is for you for informational purposes only.
Thank you. Any director's comments? I just want to report to the board that I wrote a personal letter to Sheriff Livingston recently asking his support for supporting a shared activities league out here and offered my personal support on that program. Moving on, manager's report.
Thank you. Our new, I can't really call him new anymore, Brian Miller. Our parks and landscape manager is going to give the board an update on his first three and a half months here in the district since he started with us on June 2nd or 3rd, and what his efforts have been and what he's been encountering in the community and out in the field.
Good evening, board members. First off, I'd like to thank the CHP for any traffic enforcement that they give us out here. My crew takes care of approximately 10.1 miles of streetscaping out here, and it's a very dangerous area to work, particularly Pixler and the entrance, so I appreciate all their efforts. The dog park here at the community center is growing with popularity. It's well used. It surprised me. I didn't think it was as popular as it is, but you can tell by the weight of the bags that it's growing every day.
That's how you judge you see.
Yes.
It's 17 pounds to the barn.
Yeah, that are higher quality food.
The swimming pool, we're working on getting a smoother operation out there and safer operation. We've obtained a permit to house more chlorine at the pool so we don't have to transport. That will be safer for the crew, and it also saves labor. Like, we have my guys doing other things. And we purchased a dolphin, which I'm sure you're aware of. The dolphin is a pool sweep. It's electronically controlled. It sweeps the bottom of the pool and the sides, and it saves us 15 hours a week, which again, it'll pay for itself in about 10 to 12 weeks, and then the merit money in the bank. And my guys are out doing other things, such as landscaping and trash removal in the community. We're working on a maintenance schedule. We're making our second round to the community, and of course it's going smoother and quicker than the first round. But after the second round, I would actually like to post the schedule of our neighborhoods when we're going to be there, so that the community has an idea of when to expect us. And it's probably going to be about a 6-8 week turnaround for Ontario, divided up into about 10 areas. And we're doing the parks on Mondays and Fridays, because of the usage on weekends, and then we have a team doing the streetscaping Tuesday through Thursday, and it's looking really efficient for us right now. We're getting a lot of positive feedback from the community, even people that call with their complaints, which are legitimate. I haven't had a complaint yet that wasn't legitimate. working on costs for turf renovations, so whenever the drought ends, we will have to go in and renovate our, especially our parks. So we're going to be costing in-house versus contract. I mean, in-house, we'll have to purchase some equipment so that I'll give you a cost comparison on those two items and see which is a better route. The baseball field at Cornell Park is not safe to play on or organize group right now. We're looking on a plan to help that out, but obviously the biggest need is rainfall. It'd be nice if you guys had a chance to go out and actually walk the area. I took pictures, but it doesn't really show how bad the field is. We do have organized groups that we plan to have, so we need to make a decision on the direction. Other cities have actually closed some of their ballparks because of this issue. I don't want anyone to laugh or hurt. And then the county has asked me to move forward on a project at Slidewood Park for two shade structures over barbecue areas and also some lighting in the park, solar lighting. So we're going to be getting together with the county and moving that forward. The signs have been done. It has to go through the approval process and then out to bidding. And we'll give you updates as that process goes. And I've also spoken to Susan Cohen. She's our county administrator. So we're going to get together and she's going to explain the relationship between the town and the county and how the finances work. Which will help me out. It's more of the management side of my job. So I've really been concentrating strictly on getting the community cleaned up, and now I'm falling back and getting into more of the administrative side. Any questions?
Nope.
Thanks very much for the report.
I want to say that Brian and his guys have done a great job. You know, the drought makes everything look bad, but somehow they triage parts. You know where they triage, you can see it, the grass is brown, and you know the areas that are important to all of us, the front entrances and that sort of thing, they're actually looking pretty good in spite of everything else. So pass that on to the guys, if you will, please.
Yeah, it's very obvious to everyone in the community what's going on. If we do a good job, it's obvious that we don't care about it. So, and anyone who wants to call and talk to me, that's fine. Really, we'll take care of you.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Any other
matters? I just have one item to report, and I included it to you last week in my Friday letter. Is I will be attending LAFCO next Wednesday. They've invited me and asked me to come and give them an update on what our drought efforts have been, what our results have been. I really wasn't sure what their motivation was at first, and then I found out that they've been doing this with all the different water districts. So we're just next one up on the hit list. So I'll be going to that, and I believe President Steele, you're on that committee?
Yes.
So you may or may not be going. Okay, and that's all I have, and Labor Day.
All right, welcome back. All right, District Legal.
Just to make a reintroduction, I've got Curtis Keller, one of our associates with us, continue to bring him, so you have a familiar face. If I fall off the face of the earth or need a break from Rick, Curtis will be here, so just making a reintroduction. Nothing further.
All right. Welcome. Thank you. Any subcommittee updates? Finance?
The finance subcommittee?
We've had the 26th or so, and we discussed the water wastewater project that they reflect upon the potential bond finance as well as the
Communications committee?
No. Water wastewater committee did meet. Sam's one member who was out of the country at the time.
All right. Yeah. We had basically the same kind of an update financial wise, a list of different projects that the bonds would possibly cover. Got an update on our SCADA system. There's a new antenna that's been raised, and radios going into all the different communications with lift stations, etc. Our engineer left, but he was waiting to see if anybody noticed that the antenna was up, because I guess it's got a location where it blends in, so.
No.
We haven't heard any calls yet.
I asked him to move it.
Oh, you did?
Just joking.
Oh, okay. And that's about it.
And the Parks and Rec Committee met today.
That's right. Right.
Oh, yeah. Brian gave us a preview of the park status and some of the projects he's working on, and as you guys can see, it's apparent that they're on task to get things cleaned up and maintained well. There was some discussion again on the pool system and how to clean that thing efficiently, so that was a good upgrade on the system, but other than that, we'll try to meet on a regular basis in that group. Anything on the waterways? We got Will County up there. Okay. All right. Add correspondence. Anything? Okay. Any action? All right. Public records requests. Certified payroll.
Yeah. Who is the company that's there?
Somebody looking for violas.
Yeah, we have a bunch of hypotheses as to who they might be, but don't know for certain, and they didn't disclose.
Google.
And you know what the firm is, we don't know who they represent.
Any future agenda items?
I do have one question of the board. I spoke to Manager Howard earlier today, and it's just about the two podiums and why we need to, which you felt well, we have presentations on one and the public on another. My thought is that maybe we just have one over on the side, that way we've never, the general public can actually kind of see both ways. I don't know if the board has a preference or agenda.
But we've always done it that way.
Yes.
That was my answer.
We always have. I'm trying to be public friendly.
We're in the third podium next month.
Yeah.
We have to.
We delete.
Well, no, that's the one that was getting moved there.
Okay, so the one in the center is going to be deleted. Thank you.
Please make sure the minutes are flat.
All right, this time I'll discuss.
Can we turn that mic for money now, too?
That's fair.